Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsan al-taqweem, praise be to Allah, who created the human being in the most excellent mold, wa ba'atha nabiyina, mubashirin wa munzirin, and commissioned from among them messengers, as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ I have the open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ خَيْرٌ In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ And he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That is that Muhammad, we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran revealed, is his slave servant, his last and final prophet. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family, wa sahbihi and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuha al-muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'a mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بل من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن فله أجره عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. And it says, surely whoever submits his whole purpose to Allah, his whole self, to Allah, and is a doer of good, they have their reward with their Lord. On them is no fear, nor are they grievous and anxious. Sadaqallahul Azeem. Let's read a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It'll all be in English. It's pretty long besides not having the Arabic. It's reported by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah radiallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greater reward is with the greater trial or the greater trial or difficulty of a test or a hardship is then the source of the greater reward. And when Allah loves a person, he tests him. So he who will be blessed, or pardon me, he who will be pleased, then Allah will be pleased. And he who is displeased, then Allah will be displeased. The people, as long as they are in good health, good shape, good conditions, they are covered. So you don't know their true character because they are in a good situation. So as long as they're in a good circumstance, their true character is covered. But if a trial or difficulty or hardship comes upon them, then you will see their reality. They will go to their reality. The mu'min will run to his iman. The mu'min will run to his belief. The believer will run to his belief, his iman, while the hypocrite will run to his hypocrisy. And the hypocrite will run to his hypocrisy. Without being shaken, you don't know what comes to the top and what goes to the bottom. Without being shaken, you don't know a man from those who are faking. You won't know a woman from those who are faking. You won't know those who truly believe from those who do not until there is a shaking. You won't know those who are just making a claim with their tongue, but not from their hearts, from those who are willing to die in this matter. Such manifestation can only be shown by trials, tribulations, tests, and difficulties. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Our topic today is changed from what we have been doing, and really, in effect, even though I didn't declare it as concluded, that topic is, I'll just call it 98.5% concluded. That is, it began with manhood, the degeneration of masculinity in modern times, okay? And then there had been four parts, in the most recent 4 weeks of the woman, which is actually part 18, that included 18 parts. There's one part remaining, and there's filler just that I'd like to say, but a jury is still out on if this is the platform or if I need to be hiding behind the a microphone somewhere when I say that, because there's some real challenges in that one. So Allah has his plan, and it's all his. But alhamdulillah, let me cover a couple of disclaimers, so I can just move on. Whatever I say outside of what Allah says in the Quran and what Allah explicitly says in the Quran, that is, if I read to you something from the Quran and I say, and that means, you don't have to believe, or you don't have to take, or whatever. This is always the case, but I want you to know particularly that today, that Because when I say, and that means, well, then that's how I'm looking at it. That's what I'm seeing, and therefore that's what I'm telling you. I'm saying that's what it means. But you should understand, okay, well, that's what it means from your frame of reference. That's what it means from your perspective. Now, I know you value my perspective, not, you know, not claiming 100% of you, but there's enough in here to believe that except what I say for me to be able to say that. But I really want you to truly feel comfortable and responsible to be clear on your own position, okay, within all this. Same way with the hadith of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the prophet said, whatever he explicitly stated, that's it. You accept that because it's from the prophet, not because I said it, okay? But if I said something from the prophet, and as soon as I have to say, and that means, then I'm over in my own perspective, I'm over in my own frame of reference, et cetera, and you don't have to share my perspective or share my frame of reference in that matter. It's just information you add to whatever information you already have and continue to make your own decisions. I want to be clear that the good and the right for you is not to do what I do. The good and the right for you is not to say what I say or accept everything that I say or accept everything that I do. That's not the good for you. You're responsible for yourself. The religion is good advice, however. And the Muslim is the one who loves for his brother and sister what he loves for himself. Whatever I do tell you is because that's how I believe. That's how I feel. That's where I'm coming from. That's how I'm acting. There's no obligation on anybody. No obligation on anybody. Because obviously it's a very serious, we're talking about an Islamic perspective on the current crisis. That's the title. An Islamic perspective on the current crisis. Okay, so let's start. One of the first things, for example, it's like I don't have any problem shaking hands. I don't, but it's right for anybody that does otherwise. My brother right here, Ibrahim, he travels a lot. He knows he travels a lot. And he just said, you know, it's like I travel a lot, so therefore, he's not what we didn't shake hands. I'm just using the meaning. When I came at the door, I got elbows and fist bumps and all that. Alhamdulillah, it's all good. It's all good. So you got to do you. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but if you follow the first advice, you ain't supposed to be in it. If you're sick, you know, but Allah is in charge. Let me slow down. I already said. I mean, I'll tell you, when I was preparing for this, it was so many jokes that came to my mind. It was just like, it was a full stand-up comedian act. I said, no, Fahim, you got to contain yourself, man. Any case, but it's not funny. I mean, the situation is not funny. Okay, so I just want you to know that from me. It's, I don't know, one of you, man, I'm shaking hands. It's like, hey, nothing changed with me. But that's on you. Is it? I ain't shaking your hand, Imam. That's up to you. There's no problem. And I'm not offended by it. I'm not offended by it at all because everybody has to act on their own. That's your life is your obligation. So you got to protect your life. Right? That's how it is. Now, I think that's enough for cover because just one more time. When I say something about what I do and how I feel and how I see it, I want you to keep it in that package. That's how he sees it. That's what he does. That's how he feels. And I don't want you to feel that if you feel the same way or if you decide to subscribe to that, that makes you better than anybody who doesn't. That's a mistake. That's wrong. You know. So I just don't want you to abuse anyone. And don't abuse my opinion also in that sense. Therefore, accusing someone of not you ain't with the imam. No, it ain't about that. So you gotta watch out for Shaytan. He's very busy. All right, I'm gonna read this report or this it's an athar different from hadith. Athar are reports, historical reports. They are not from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they are reports that some parts of it does include hadith, but it's really a story about one of the companions. And in this case, it's Umar radiallahu anhu. It's a part of the story about an outbreak, about the outbreak of a plague. In the winter of 638 to 639, that's Hijri time, 638, that's AD, but this is after Hijri. 638, 639, the virulent plague broke out in Syria, Egypt, and Iraq. The plague exacted its heaviest toll in Syria, particularly Amwas. And the plague came to be known as the Amwas plague. When Umar heard of the outbreak of the plague, he decided to proceed to Syria personally to watch the measures to be adopted to suppress the epidemic. When Umar reached Sirg, a few stages from Medina, he met Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu anhu, and other officers of the Muslim army in Syria. He was told that the virulence of the plague was increasing and that people were dying in the thousands. Many persons advised Umar that he should not proceed to the infected area. Umar held a shura. Abu Ubaidah suggested that Umar should visit the infected areas. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu quoted a tradition, that is a hadith, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to which the Prophet had enjoined that when a plague was raging, one should not go from the non-infected to the infected area, or vice versa. That settled the issue for Umar radiallahu anhu, and he decided to return to Medina. Abu Ubaidah did not feel happy at the decision of Umar. He said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you fleeing from God's will? Umar replied that he is merely moving from one will of God to another will of God. On return to Medina, Umar addressed a letter to Abu Ubaidah asking him to come to Medina as he wanted to consult him on some important matters. Abu Ubaidah understood the purpose of the call and wrote back saying that fate, or the qadr, this is the English translation, said fate, that's not what we buy as a translation for the qadr, so it's qadr, saying that the qadr ruled everything, and that he could not move away from Syria to save his own life, leaving others in danger. See, Umar was giving him an excuse to come on, you know. But he said, no, it wouldn't be right for me to leave there and leave others in danger. Umar thereupon asked him to move the troops to a healthier place. Abu Ubaidah accordingly moved the troops to Jabiya, which was noted for its good climate. A few days after the arrival of the troops at Jabiya, Abu Ubaidah caught the plague and died. Before his death, he appointed Muaz ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, as his successor. So, just two things that are not at the core of what's here. Is that Umar told him to move the troops to a place that is healthier, right? So you have to preserve what protects you. Preserve what protects you. So that's wisdom right there. It's like, okay, what should you do? Well, do what protects you and preserve what protects you. That's one thing. And also, yeah, sufficient. That's sufficient for that. In this circumstance, this crisis, which is what we have to call it, in my view, according to the sunnah of Allah, meaning that this is what Allah does. And how do you know this is the sunnah of Allah? Because the Prophet just told us in this report that that is the sunnah of Allah. It's like when Allah loves someone, he tests them. And before someone is tested and shaken, etc., they can mouth that they believe, but they're not really believe. They can say they have faith, but they don't really have faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the faith of the individual through the trial. And more importantly, the people around them and the person to themselves. Do I really believe? Okay, well, how are you acting in the light of something that challenges you, tests you, try you? And in this report, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the way that you know if Allah is pleased with you is to look at, are you pleased under the trial? Are you pleased under the trial? If you're pleased under the trial, then that's Allah's pleasure on you. If you are disquieted and anxious and fearful and what have you, and you're displeased with it, well then Allah is displeased with you. So we don't know whether something is or to what extent or in which way a matter is a trial. Then that matter is a matter for us to look at how we're replying to it, how we're responding to it. Because that tells you, and this is not, obviously it's not just related to the immediate situation related to the health concerns here and in the world. It relates to anything. Your mother dies, your father dies, your wife, your husband, your child. You lose a job, you lose some money, you lose a very valuable article to you, whatever. Your car breaks down, whatever. Whatever that is, the point is, how are you responding to it? Are you responding with, are you falling apart? Are you collapsing? Are you totally distraught? It's like you might not have as much faith as your name may say, you know, or your kufi might say, you know. So this is the nature of trials, right? And we know the report of the Prophet. Where the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, strange is the case of the believer, and this is only true for the believer, that no matter what happens, if something happens that's good for them, they are grateful, and they show gratitude, shukr. They show gratitude to Allah. And if they are impacted by something that is harmful or hurtful, then they are sabr, they have patience. Well, translation is patience, but sabr means do what you have to do in order to deal with the situation. If it means being still when you feel like acting, sabr says be still. If it means acting when you feel like being still, then sabr is saying act. So sabr goes both ways, right? So no matter what the case is with the believer, it's always the case that they have a reply that is for those who believe, right? And again, it's either shukr or sabr. If it's good, let's call it alhamdulillah, you're grateful. If it's bad, then meaning something that you don't like, right? Then you're patient with it and you don't show displeasure with it. Your displeasure expression of it is an expression of Allah's displeasure with you. So you should pray that I don't show displeasure in the matter. It doesn't mean that if you feel bad or you hurt or you think about it or you're mourning something, that doesn't mean that that's displeasure. When it goes beyond bounds, when it, in any case, whether that be time or whether that be the extent of your response to it. If you emotionally exaggerated in your response and you exaggerated in a way that is outsized to the nature of the circumstance under whatever might be described as the norm of the group to which you belong. I know there's a lot of verbiage in there, but that's what it means. Because for a 7-year-old child, you know, to get really, really upset because they, whatever, somebody broke their, whatever, I was thinking about G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip, but that's so old, whatever, broke their PSP, whatever. It's like, you know, it's like, and then they go, well, for a 7-year-old, I might be fine. But if I get a 27-year-old and his reaction is like the 7-year-old, okay, well, now that's not normal, right? Okay, so in the same way, there's a measure. And Allah knows what that measure is. But the point is for us to recognize that the way we respond to situations that we are confronted with, whether it be good or whether it be things that can be described as bad, all of that comes under the judgment of Allah, and all we need to do is look into our emotional mirror and see how am I responding to this. Because a good thing, you can get whatever, egotistical, or you can get self-aggrandizing, or you can whatever, you can just go out, yeah, I'm all that, you know. Watch out. Same way with the other side of it. Okay. Now, so this has to do with the qadr. Has to do with the qadr. As Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, as he said, the qadr controls everything. And the qadr is one of our beliefs. So while we're not going into trying to detail any of it, it's not really something that you can rationally bring anybody to and say, oh, okay, I got it. You can share with them whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with you. Pardon me, it's always a distraction. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts as orders for you, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for you, then it's not that he's compelling that to be the case, but it is that he knows. He knows. And the qadr is never something that you can explain to anyone to their satisfaction. You can share with them the sign that works for you, but that might be the sign that works for them. Might not be the sign that works for them. Like Abraham and the four birds, is that how will the resurrection be? Well, the four birds was enough for Abraham, right? But for somebody else, maybe that's not enough. Okay, moving on. So the idea is qadr. We believe in the qadr anyway, and nothing is going to be except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written that it was going to be. And so for as far as free will and all the rest of that is concerned, that's all a part of it. And let me see if I can just encapsulate it by saying Allah says he's never unjust to any of his creatures. He's never unjust to any. What does that mean? That means that if it happened, yes, Allah knew it was going to happen. Yes, Allah wrote it was going to happen. Then the natural next question, especially if it's things you don't like, he said, well, why would God let that happen? Why did it happen to me? Okay, well, that's part of the whole, that's the whole qadr thing. And God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers, is like, okay, if you don't understand it now, there is going to come a time where it's going to be made crystal clear, and you're going to see that even though you didn't like it, I was never unjust to any of my creatures. So the believers are already set. If Allah allows it, and alhamdulillah, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he put it the best way for me, he said, Allah, whatever Allah allows, is always bringing about the best for the most. Is always bringing about the best for the most. Whether you or I see whether that is it or not, or know how that's to get, is far beyond our capacity to grasp how is this good. Okay, that's God's business. You know, what you're supposed, because he's handling everything. So your job is, what am I doing? It ain't for me to figure out. I mean, if you got some free time, you can try to figure some things out, right? But in the meantime, know what you're supposed to do. So let's get on with that. Anas ibn radiallahu anhu, he reported that a man said to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, should I tie my camel and trust in Allah, or should I leave her untied and trust in Allah? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhliha wa tawakkal. Let me recommend Sadaqa Rasulullah. It says, tie your camel, and trust in Allah. Tawakkal. Get familiar with that word. I'm going to deepen my own understanding of it. Just with this reading, it reminds me, yeah, you need to get deeper on that understanding too. Tawakkal. So Allah is the waqil. Allah is the one who you trust without any reservations. I trust you, but I'm going to verify. You know, you don't trust and verify with Allah. You trust Allah. That's what Allah says. What Allah says, what he said he's going to do, that's what's going to happen. That's that. That's for a believer. Yeah, I believe in Allah, but there it was right there, but. So you just like, you know, you used to be a little Billy Goat joke, you know what I'm saying? Well, with that but, you just knocked off everything that came before it. Trust in Allah. So tie your camel and trust in Allah. Focusing on this term, Aqilha. Inside that word is aql, intellect. Apply your mind. Apply your intelligence. Apply your intellect to whatever it is that you're dealing with. And trust in Allah. Apply your intellect. Aql. So let's do that. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I have been given the Quran and something like it. And he says, I have been given jawamil kalam. I have been given the ability to express things in a way that are so compact and so complete that it would take volumes before my time to explain the same thing. So when he says aqliha, when he says use your intellect, then that's what you're supposed to do. Use your intellect. It doesn't just mean to tie the camel, and indeed the camel actually is a symbol of introspection. The camel is a symbol of introspection. So let's apply it. Here's some facts that the mass media, which is really the corporate media, you know, there's a lot of ways to lie. One of the ways to lie is not telling all the truth. I didn't lie. Yeah, but you didn't tell you. This is why when you go to testify, they say who you tell the truth, and then what else? The whole truth. And they didn't finish there, right? And nothing but the truth. They're trying to put that liar in a box, man. Like, you're going to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? From the right, from the left, from before, from behind, right? So the idea is they're lying to us. Let me just put it plain, and I already did my cover at the beginning of this. What do you mean they're lying to us? They're leaving out a lot of truth. I'm not saying what they haven't said is true, is untrue per se, but I know they haven't told the whole truth because here's one reason, one example, several I got. Over the 51 days since the discovery of the coronavirus, the worldwide average has been 2,600 cases a day. That's cumulative. There's more to come after that. But cumulatively, there have been, on the average, that is from the time it was discovered 51 days ago to the present count right now, there's a page, I think it's called Worldometer, like odometer, but put world on the front of it. Worldometer.com or whatever, and following it, and it updates after Greenwich Mean Time at midnight, just whatever the latest count is and all that, and all those statistics. So the point is, that's cumulative. Not like tomorrow is going to be 2,600 more cases, and the next day after there's going to be 2,600 more cases. No, out of the total number of cases for the whole time, the average would be 2,600 per day. Now, the total count in this recent look before coming here today, the total cases worldwide are 140,000 cases worldwide. In this first pass, here's the first thing that hit me that I know they're not telling us. Of the 140,000 cases, 70,000 cases have recovered. Means
half of all the people that have been affected globally, 70,000 have recovered. Media would make you think you get it to die. Watch out.
Well, come on now. You got to give me one joke, please. I was in one of those shops, you know, in the hood, whatever. So a woman, a sister came in, and you say, ain't Corona in here, is it? Ain't no Corona. She knew it was going to be funny, right? It's like, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you come in like, ain't no Corona in here.
Yeah, 70,000 have recovered. I mean, they got it, and they lived. Recovered. Now, the current global fatality rate, this is Akliha, Akiloha. Yeah. How do you figure fatality rate? Deaths as of the day you're doing the calculation. Okay, was the total number of deaths as of the time you're doing the calculation, and then that's divided by the total number of cases for that same period of time. How many deaths, how many cases? Divide the deaths by the cases, and you get a number, which represents the current fatality rate based on the number. And my numbers are off 51 days from the time it was being counted, discovered, whatever, reported, whatever. Now, without even taking into consideration that nearly 60% of all global cases are in China, 80,000 or something like that, in China. But without making that distinction, the current fatality rate is 0.037. Who dies? The current fatality rate is actually, it's almost like saying it's not even a whole person. Of those who get it, if you had 100 people, then 99.963% of those people will recover. They will not die. Is the media telling us 99.963 chance that you won't die? When you round that number out, and I understand it's like, yeah, some people have died, and God bless them, and rest their souls, alhamdulillah, and whatever Allah allows is benefiting the most. But nobody's telling you almost 100% of people don't die. Almost 100%. It'd be different if it's like, well, yeah, but 65% of people do die, or 35% of people do die. No, you're not even telling me that. You're just scaring me. Now, watch this. You're talking about the whole truth, nothing but the truth, which is not being told, which means that you're being lied to. Of those who have recovered, did they recover because of the yet non-existent vaccine, or was it the mechanism that Allah created that solved their problem? How did they recover? To be dead. I'm asking you, rhetorically. I'm like, that's my nephew. I'm sorry. He busted my brick right there. That was all my folks here too. I gotta holler out. Shout out to Casey. All right, back to character. That means the right form. So how did they die? I mean, how did they recover? You know what the prophet tells us, Allah alayhi wa sallam, for every disease, Allah has revealed the cure. Have you heard anybody ask that question on the media? Have you heard anybody say, well, you know, I hear that 70,000, nobody, they don't even bring it up. We need to understand that there is a commercial benefit and interest in keeping the lie hot. Got people fighting over toilet paper in the grocery store. You gonna tell me the grocery store don't like that? Oh, we just so feel so terrible about people. Okay, we're going to be closed. So you people learn how to act correctly. Oh, hell no. If we got stuff in the back, we're going to keep the shelves light. Maybe we can get some more advertising by people killing somebody in this store, right? I'm sorry. I know that's kind of crazy, but that's kind of crazy where we're living in. All right. See, the world powers want you to think that if we can't solve it, you're going to die. That's how they want you to think. If we can't solve, we don't know that. We're searching. We're working diligently. We're trying to find it out. Oh, you know, this is possibly a 1.2 million people are going to die because of this. And then everybody's making money off it. And you might think that Wall Street ain't making money. Look, somebody, the president just declared the state of emergency in the U.S. That means more money, more money, more money. For people who already had too much money, too cheaply, that they're hiding behind this crisis for some. I already told you at the beginning, you can take what I say and throw it away either way. But there was something that's always coming. Watch this. If, mashallah, time flies, earthquakes in third world countries, earthquakes in third world, whole buildings collapse on people. Hundreds, in some cases, maybe even thousands of people die because the buildings collapse on them. So did the earthquake kill them? Or was it the graft, meaning the corruption, involved in using cheap cement and methodologies, cheating the engineering and architectural requirements so that you can throw up a cheap building, get paid, and get out of there? What killed them? Was it the building and the corruption of the building's structure, or was it the earthquake? The financial system that we live in right now and have been for years is corrupt. And they are totally out of tools to deal with the inevitable coming collapse of the petrodollar fiat currency system. And it already cut rates all the way down to 0%, and in some countries it's negative interest rates. In order to justify giving trillions of dollars to people who are already abusing the money and whose release of that, can't even call it capital, release of that fiat currency, it devalues the money that you and I have because it increases the value by the time it increases the amount of money out there, which decreases the value that was there before. And since we get it so late, the ones who are at the front door of the Treasury and the Fed, they get that money off the top, and they're able to get more out of the dollars than when it reaches us, if it ever does. But that game is definitely coming to an end, and this crisis becomes a perfect opportunity to hide behind. Corona did it. And they want to keep the masses so afraid that you don't ask no questions. Anyway, democracy is a problem.
Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Allahu akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As you all know, we revisit this on Saturday mornings on Universe Dimension Leadership. But let's cover a couple more things before we go. So we already told you about the recovery rate and the fact, said another way, there's a 99.963 chance that even if you get the coronavirus, that you'll recover, or better said, that you won't die. Okay. And by the way, the H1N1 virus that just happened to come around about the same time of the big real estate collapse that we just went through 2009. They suddenly come up with another boogeyman to get everybody scared, so you all ask, well, what happened to the money? You all look at that, bird flu gonna get you, you better watch out. You know, I could see Ava's and Andy doing a piece on that. Yeah, Andy, but watch out for that bird flu. I'm feeling pretty sick there. Now, Andy tried to get his money, right? I ain't gonna, if you touch me, you might get sick, Andy. I'm gonna get you money, but wait till I get a little bit better. So they give us the swine flu, H1N1. Here's the reality of that, too. It killed 500,000 Americans. Now, how many really got that news? I don't know how many people were killed in Vietnam, but a number rings in my head, like that number. How many? Yeah, there you go. 58,000. So the bird flu, according to their record, killed 500,000. And it ain't even big as the Vietnam message for this society. How we missed that? But we did get the ice bucket challenge, the mannequin challenge, you know, the bird box challenge. They just, any kind of foolishness that they want to get us into to distract us from the more important things, that's what they do. And I'm saying that this is one of those. Since February 2nd to now, global death rates, as low as they are, have been declining. You remember I started and I was telling you about there are 260,000 cases. That's the aggregate. That's the average of 260,000 per day, 2,600 per day. But that number has been declining. That is, we're on the numbers. The numbers that make for that average on this end of it, the later of the 51 days, is lower than, let's say, February 12th. I think that was one of the highest days of counting. There's a rationale for that too. But the point is, February 12th to where we are right now, March 13th, it's been on the other side of the hill. You understand? But if you go from the beginning to the top and then down to where we are right now, when you take the average of that, that's where the 2,600 comes in respect to what the average number is. So since February 2nd to now, global death rates have been declining. And furthermore, the death rate for the coronavirus compared to the seasonal flu in the U.S. That is, you know, we have flu season, right? It's like in the islands, they have hurricane season, and in some places in Texas, I believe, they also have hurricane, in the south, hurricane season. Okay, so the flu, okay, the flu's coming. Was it? Why? Because it's flu season. So we already got flu season, but the death rate for the coronavirus compared to the seasonal flu in the U.S. is less than 0.1%. That is, more people die from the annual flu that we have in this country than are dying in America, in the U.S., from the coronavirus. Why are we not more afraid of the seasonal flu than we are of the coronavirus? Well, that was 500 million is a lot more scarier than 41, which is the death rate for U.S. 41 people have died from corona in the 51 days
and a half a million died during the regular flu season. Pardon me. The ratio is less than 1% because the seasonal flu in the U.S. kills anywhere from 40,000 to 100,000 Americans every year. Just round that up to 70,000. 70,000 die every year from the seasonal flu. Corona is scarier. By comparison, it's less than 1%. So more to be said tomorrow, but let me go ahead. Oh, mashallah, so good. So I say good because there was some other statistics that I was going to go to. Oh, no, here they are. And it's still alhamdulillah. But let's say this. Watch this. Global car accident deaths, 3,287 deaths per day. Drug overdose deaths, 1,233 deaths. I would have thought there would be more. This is global. These are global numbers. Drug overdose in the world, 1,233 deaths per day. Alcohol-related deaths, global, 8,219 deaths per day. Every day, 219 people die from alcohol-related death. But here's a kicker. Tobacco-related deaths, 21,900 per day. Today, the sun rises, the sun sets, 22 round figures, 22,000 people died behind tobacco. It's an outcry. The corporate interest, the corporation. Don't you say nothing about them cigarettes.
You better watch out for the Corona. Go get you a Corona and a cigarette, mashallah. So, astaghfirullah. That's always when you know it's time to go because we start talking like that. But you get my point.
They tell you what they want to tell you. Because they want you to be in a state of fear, anxiety, doubt, worry, anxiousness. Because then you're easy to control. Then you get an excuse to declare national emergencies. So y'all can't go over here no more. Y'all can't do that no more. It's all because of the corona. So Muslim, you have to do, we have to do what we have to do. But we got to be Muslims and believers first. So I'm not going to go back and cover all the ground that I covered before in terms of my disclaimers about you got to do what you got to do. You got to be you. You got to look out for you. You have to manage your own sensitivity. It's your own life. But I am satisfied that when you look at the facts of the matter, it is the scare and the hype that's being put into that is outsized in proportion to its statistical reality in the world.
رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Oh Allah, we know that you are the great, you are the high, you are the one who has power over all things. We know that nothing happens except as you allow, and we know that you only allow that which is good and best for the most of us. We know that you are never unjust to any of your creatures. We depend on your promises because your promises are true. We lean on you for all things and in everything, and we trust you always and at all times. And we pray that you would strengthen us and make our feet firm and help us against those who stand against faith. Amen. Allahumma amin. Imam, can I get you to lead the prayer today, my nephew? Come on. الحمد لله.
أكبر شر من لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله. الله أكبر. ربنا ولك الحمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة.
آمين.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم.
آمين.
اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين.
آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. الحمد لله شكرا. Make a couple of announcements, brothers and sisters. Inshallah. Firstly, health officials advise us to stay home if you have cold and flu symptoms. Jumu'ah can be heard and seen online and heard on the phone. Also, there's a networking breakfast this Sunday for the returning citizens. It's an annual affair here, and we look forward to it. So that, what time is it? 9 to 12, okay. 9 to 12, and then also $10, but free for recently paroled individuals, okay, otherwise $10. The Darnell Kareem visit has been postponed, and inshallah will be announced in later. Also, I'd like to acknowledge, we mentioned it, sister, what was your sister's name? Yeah. Lynn, she passed away, and also Contrell's daughter, Contrell, what, I don't have the paper in front of me, in any case, his daughter also passed away, Inna Lillahi Inna Ilaihi Rajiun. That's on the, that was on the 7th of this month. Also, we have a new book from the Imam, alhamdulillah, published by Imam Ram Shaheed, Attaining the Ethical Society. So it's beautiful. You should be collecting these books from the Imam. Alhamdulillah, they are rare. You need to have them. So that's it. MashaAllah. May Allah guide us. Assalamu alaikum.